We're going to read here in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 12. Start there. "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for everything you've done for us, Lord. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity to preach. I pray, Lord, you please help me. I need your help. I pray, Holy Spirit, you please work in the hearts of the people. Lord, please help our pastor as he's down south preaching. Fill him with your spirit and with your power, Lord, as he is also preaching. Give great results both here and there, Lord. May you get the glory and honor for what's done. In Jesus' name, amen. There is something in life that many Christians struggle with. I think most of us struggle with it. And that would be this matter of our past, particularly our sinful past. Most of us in this room, if time would permit, would admit that we have done some things back there that we are not quite the proudest of. Each one of us have sinned in some way or another, whether it was before or after our salvation. We know generally that God has forgiven us, but we still sometimes hold on to the fact that we've messed up. And I once knew a man who was a high-ranking retired Navy SEAL. He had told me that he had been deployed to, I think he said, 172 different countries. He spoke three foreign languages. He said he was the rank. Now, the Navy SEALs do their ranks differently. He said he was about the rank of a general, and he was in his 30s. So that's quite impressive. He came to church one day and made a profession of faith and even got baptized. But later on, Brother Gomez went to visit him, and he looked at the preacher and said, "How can God forgive me for what I have done?" There are several people in the Bible who had sinned in their past, and yet God still forgave and used them. David did not have a wicked past, but in middle life, he made a grievous mistake with Bathsheba. And we're still talking about it because, of course, the Lord recorded it in Scripture. "Yet David repented of his sin, as it is recorded in the 51st Psalm, and the Lord forgave him and kept using him later on." Yet another king would be King Manasseh in 2 Chronicles 33, verse 9 through 16. He was one of the most wicked kings that Judah ever had. And because of his wickedness and the fact that he got Judah to sin as well, God sent the Assyrians against him and carried him off to Babylon, after which time King Manasseh realized that he was wrong. He humbled himself and asked God to forgive him, confessed his sin, and then God forgave him and brought him back, and Manasseh worshipped the Lord from then on. In the New Testament, we have Peter, who denied the Lord and cursed, yet the Lord forgave him and also used him to preach a sermon on Pentecost. Yet again, we have Saul the murderer, who in Acts chapter 9 got saved and became Paul the missionary, and we read his testimony in the opening text. There has not been any person in the history of the human race who has not done something that they were not proud of, something that they felt guilty for, aside from Jesus Christ. And the devil loves to get people hung up on their past to prevent them from doing any good for God in the future. It is the goal of this message for us to see the forgiveness that we already have with Christ. I hope you will listen. I hope that you will learn with me as we learn about this subject, our past and God's forgiveness. Our past and God's forgiveness. There's one main point I want you to get tonight. I have 75 subpoints, but there's one main point that I want you to get tonight. And let me specify, in this message, I'm not talking about unconfessed sin. I'm not talking about sins that we have committed and we are in rebellion against God. We haven't confessed those things. I'm not talking about that. Unconfessed sin needs to be confessed and forsaken. And that's just flat the way it is. I'm talking about sins that we have done, that we have already confessed in the past, but that we're still feeling guilty for. And that will be the focus of this message. Here's the one thing I want you to get from this message tonight. In God's sight, no Christian has a sinful past. No Christian has a sinful past. Sometimes our past will haunt us, and that is because of real or perceived guilt. You have Joseph's 10 brothers in Genesis 42, verse 21. And they said one to another, "We are verily guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon us." And Reuben answered them, saying, Spake I not unto you, saying, "Do not sin against the child," and you would not hear? Therefore, behold, also his blood is required. This was 22 years after they sold Joseph into slavery. Now, that's a lot of guilt for a long time. And we have our own past. If you want proof, just look at yourselves. We all have sins that we have committed in the past that we're not proud of, we don't want anyone to know about, and that's proof enough that our past will haunt us at times. Statement number one. All of our sins are either in the past or will be in the past. Romans 3:25, "Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past." Any sin we committed even 1 second ago is in the past. If it has not been confessed yet, which I don't know of any of us who are as accurate as being confessed up to the second, if it hasn't been confessed yet, then it should be confessed and turned away from. It says remission of sins that are past. But this also includes sins that are in the future. Think with me. We have not yet committed the sins that we're going to commit 10 years from now. But the Lord knows what sins those are. And when we get to heaven, all of our sins will be in the past. All of them will be. So our sins are either in our past now or will be in our past in the future. In God's sight, no Christian has a sinful past. Statement number two. All of our sins have been forgiven. I want you to turn your Bible to Jeremiah chapter 33. Jeremiah chapter 33. Jeremiah chapter 33, and we're going to look at verse number 8. It says, "And I will cleanse them from all their iniquity, whereby they have sinned against me, and I will pardon all their iniquities, whereby they have sinned, and whereby they have transgressed against me." God said, "I will cleanse you, and I will pardon you." That means that the guilt of sin has been removed from you because the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. All of our sins have been forgiven. Isaiah 38, verse 17, "Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back." Acts 13, verse 38 and 39, "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things." If you have unconfessed sin now in your life, if you truly confess your sin and forsake it, then Christ will forgive you, and it will be as far removed from you as the sins that you committed before you got saved. I have an illustration. Who's good at math? Who's good at word problems? Okay. Now, y'all, listen here. A dad and his son stand next to their pond. The dad has a small pile of rocks in his hand, and he tells his son, "I want you to take all the rocks in my hand and throw them into the pond." And in obedience, the boy takes all the rocks that are in his dad's hand and throws them in the pond. If the boy does that, if he takes all those rocks and throws them in the pond, what percentage of rocks have been thrown in the pond? 100%. Very good. Very good. Amen. There we go. If Christ said that he forgave us of all our sins, then what percentage of our sins did Christ forgive? 100%. Very good. All of our sins have been forgiven. Micah 7, verse 19, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. In God's sight, no Christian has a sinful past. Statement number 3. Right now, I love this one. Right now, God does not know that you had a sinful past. Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8, and we're going to look at verse 12. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Amen. Hebrews 10, verse 17, again, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. God doesn't know, once you've been saved, God doesn't know that you even had a sinful past. You say, well, God knows everything. True that. But your sins are not on his list. As Curtis Hudson said, God has a divine forgetter. Illustration. Imagine that God was on his computer in heaven, and he had on a Word document the list of all the sins that you ever committed. For me, that'd be a couple volumes, amen? When you got saved, he simply highlighted all of your sins and pushed the delete button. You can go crazy. My daughter, she loves typing on the computer. She loves it when things, we push buttons here and things show up right there. She loves it. But you can go crazy pushing buttons on the computer to fill up the whole page if you want to. But if you fill up that whole page, you highlight the whole thing and you push delete, what do you have left on the screen? You have a white blank page. And that is what Christ did for us when we got saved. And that's what he does for us every time we confess our sins. God highlights all of our sins and pushes the delete button. All he sees now is a clean, white page. Statement number 4. God's forgiveness is eternal. You're right close by there, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Curtis Hudson used an illustration one time. It seems to be quite fitting for this. An Episcopalian and a Baptist were standing next to a river. The Episcopalian believed that you could lose your salvation. The Baptist believed that you could never lose your salvation. But to illustrate his point, the Episcopalian picked up a rock and washed it off in the river and showed it to the Baptist and said, "Do you see that rock?" And he said, "Yes, I do." He took that rock and he put it back in the mud and, pointing to it, said, "That's my salvation. I can be clean one moment and the next not be clean." The Baptist thought about it for a minute. Then he picked up a rock, washed it off, showed it to the Episcopalian and said, "Do you see that rock?" He said, "Yes." The Baptist then took the rock and threw it out in the river and said, "That's my salvation. Once cleansed, I will forever be clean because the water continually washes it." And that's what Christ did at salvation. He cleansed us when we got saved, but he will forever keep us clean from sin. Why? that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Ephesians 5:27. You may say, well, I understand that God has forgiven me, but isn't God still angry with me because of what I've done? Nope. He's not. God is not angry with you anymore. Hebrews 14, verse 4, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. What Christ did on the cross for us, that took all the wrath that God ever had for us. He put it on his son, Jesus Christ, and he took all that punishment. He took all that wrath, and he did it because he loves you. In God's sight, no Christian has a sinful past. In review, statement number one, all of our sins are either in the past or will be in our past. Statement two, all of our sins have been forgiven. Statement three, right now God doesn't know you had a sinful past. Statement number four, God's forgiveness is eternal. Statement number five, let your past go. Let it go. Philippians 3, verse 13 and 14. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I thank God that on June 29th of 2016, the Lord gave me the victory over the guilt of my sinful past. And right now, if I ask God to forgive me for all those sins that I had committed, he would be up there sitting on his throne, scratching his head, wondering what in the world I'm talking about. Because he has forgotten what I have sinned, what sins I have committed. You can let your past hinder you. And it will hinder you. It will. Or you can do what God has done and let it go. What value is it for you to hold on to it? I wish I could get every one of you, if you're struggling with your past, or if you have something back there that you ain't proud of, if I could just get you to get a real good grasp on this one truth tonight, all you have done before, any sin you have committed before, does not matter. Because Christ has already done away with it, and when he does away with it, it's done away with. You can say, preacher, how can you mean that? How do you know what I've done? You don't know what I've done. How can you mean that it doesn't matter anymore? Miss Biber, if I could have you go to the piano real quick. I want you to pull out your songbook. We're going to answer this question together. Pull out your songbook and go to song number 19. Song number 19. Roger, I appreciate those songs you picked earlier in the service, but you scared me because I thought you were going to go to song number 19. All right, we're going to sing the first verse of this song. There is a fountain filled with blood.
There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains.
I don't know what you may have done, but I know what Christ has done. Christ has forgiven us for all of our sins. He did that because he loves us. Let me just say it one more time. In God's sight, you don't have a sinful past. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank for this day. Thank for everything done for us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, so much for your forgiveness and your abundant grace and your mercy and how you've loved us. We don't deserve this, Lord. We know we don't. And I thank you, Lord, very much for your kindness, your love, your mercy, and your grace. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done with us. Please have your will and way in the invitation. May you get all the glory and honor for what's done. In Jesus' name, amen.